With Breaking the Cycle, we wanted to tell the story of those within social, supported and the charity housing sector. But we also wanted to touch on the psychological challenges faced by all those within society. This short episode is with psychologist Dr. Vanessa Moulton, and this is all about PTSD. Vanessa, what is post-traumatic stress disorder?
PTSD is a response that we have, not everybody has, but a response that we can have to experiencing something traumatic. So it can affect a number of our different capabilities in terms of the emotions that we're experiencing, the behaviors that we engage with. But in essence, it is the distress and disruption that we experience after having experienced a traumatic event.
And is it a mental health problem or is it a trauma memory problem?
It's a trauma memory problem, effectively, because our brain responds to a traumatic event very differently to the way that it responds in a normal everyday experience that isn't too stressful. So the way that our brain processes information on a day-to-day basis means that we are able to kind of process, file our memories very kind of easily. And if we experience something traumatic, the part of our brain that is doing that process for us is not working at its best. It kind of, the brain decides that actually the gray matter that processes all of our information actually shuts down a little bit or doesn't work as hard because it diverts its attention to other areas of our body it needs in a true kind of threatening fight or flight situation.
So it protects itself.
Yes, it's a form of protection. But what it thinks it's doing is it responds in a way that it thinks you're responding to a physical threat. But it doesn't always need to be a physical threat, but the same system will kick in, whether it's a physical threat or just a psychological threat. It's a form of protection.
So is that the amygdala, the fight flight?
Yeah. So we've got a lovely little structure. I call it the threat detector at the front of the brain called the amygdala. When it detects a threat, it kicks off the part of the nervous system that ramps everything up. So adrenaline starts pumping around our body so that we can have more blood pumped around our body quicker because we need that oxygenated blood when we need to truly kind of physically fight or flee. We get glucose released to our muscles because it thinks it needs to kind of have more energy to run or flee. But then what it also does is it starts to kind of shut off or kind of blunt the areas of our body that it doesn't think it needs when we're in a true physically threatening situation. And one of those things is the lovely kind of gray matter part of our brain that does all the filing and processing of our memories. And that is something that contributes towards the PTSD symptoms.
Can you name a few of the common symptoms, please?
Yeah, so, I mean, there are different kind of, we kind of look for, I suppose, clusters of symptoms. Avoidance is one of the clusters that we kind of look for. So people with PTSD may avoid things, places that remind them of the thing that was traumatic for them, or avoid engaging with things that bring up the memories or trigger memories off, or the emotions because they feel so overwhelming. In intrusion is another kind of cluster of experiences that we or symptoms that we look for. So someone who is perhaps experiencing nightmares, so that, you know, you've got thoughts and experiences that are intruding your sleep, or maybe thoughts about an event that happened is popping into your mind on a day-to-day basis without you kind of choosing for them to be there. And kind of numbing as well, which falls under avoidance actually. So, you know, numbing things off as much as possible because it's hard to sit with some of the symptoms and the feelings that come up with PTSD.
And just to touch on this really quickly, is that because the amygdala fires again and then the fight flight kicks in?
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, in, do you mean in terms of why wouldn't people want to sit with it?
Yeah.
Usually it's because it's too overwhelming. And you're right. I mean, what happens is once we start thinking about it, the feelings of anxiety, maybe even panic, come back in, and that then triggers off the threat system even more. So that's how it can feel really overwhelming. So you know, that's why people sometimes really do avoid getting treatment for PTSD, because they just don't want to revisit some of those memories that they're trying to avoid.
Why on the same event, so let's say a road traffic collision, might be three people there, why could one of them get PTSD and then two of them not? Why is the same event, but you could get a different outcome psychologically from the individuals within it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of reasons there. The first is we know that there are certain kind of predisposing factors or risk factors that make someone more susceptible, let's say, to experiencing PTSD. So if you have experienced trauma previously, then you've got a greater chance of experiencing it again if there is a traumatic event. We know that people's upbringings, that can affect the way that they respond to a traumatic event, you know, how they've either learned or not learned to regulate their emotions. But we have to remember that every single one of us is a unique individual with a unique blueprint in our brains. And this blueprint is effectively a bunch of hardwired beliefs that we have created for the whole of our life since we were born. And these beliefs effectively affect the way that we interpret a situation or experience a situation. So one person might experience something or interpret something as hugely threatening and scary, but another person may not, based on their own experiences in their life that makes this incident not scary or threatening to them. Therefore, their brain will be able to process that event much better than the person who goes into threat mode because it's deemed to be threatening and scary for them.
What is the difference between being affected by trauma, PTSD, and complex PTSD?
Complex PTSD, I'll start with that one. Complex PTSD is effectively when someone has experienced a number of different traumatic events. So it's not just a single experience. So it might be, you know, a non-complex PTSD case would be someone, let's say, who has never experienced any trauma and has experienced a road traffic accident, or they've witnessed one. And the brain, or as in treatment, we would be purely kind of focusing on that one incident and helping the brain kind of reprocess it and file it for that individual. Complex PTSD is when you've got a number of different traumatic events that need to be processed, or the person needs help processing. In terms of being kind of impacted by traumatic events, but not necessarily having PTSD, the reality is, you know, your brain still functions in a certain way. And if it experiences something that is kind of abnormal, which generally is the case when there's something traumatic, then you will experience some of the symptoms associated with PTSD. It doesn't necessarily mean you've got PTSD, but it's just a response to how your brain has responded to the traumatic event. And a lot of the times, actually, your brain will make sense of something traumatic that's happened. It just needs time to process and file all the information it's trying to make sense of.
This is a bit, maybe a bit full on. Is it, when we look at trauma and we look at PTSD, we look at complex PTSD, is it easier for, let's say, an adult male soldier who's gone to war to process trauma than it is to a child that was sexually abused by a family member, for example? I hopefully I've explained that as briefly as possible, but does the brain process things differently, like purpose and also when you're vulnerable and kind of everything in between that?
Yeah, I mean, they are kind of two kind of quite different things. But you're right. It's all about how your brain makes sense of something. Is there purpose? Is there meaning behind it? I'm not saying that somebody who's been in a war context means just because they've gone there as part of their job, it doesn't necessarily mean that they can create positive meaning out of something because there is a set purpose for them being there. You know, that's not always the case. But if we compare that sort of situation to a child who, you know, a child's brain at that point, it will struggle to make any sense out of what is happening to them. And the long-term effects are huge. I mean, they really are huge and can be very lifelong, effectively. You imagine as a child, if you've been through something like that, it will affect so many different aspects of your life, how you relate to others, your ability to be intimate with others, you know, the way that you trust people. I mean, there's so many different aspects that it affects. So it really does turn into a fairly complex situation to work with psychologically.
We could literally talk about this for hours and hours, and we kind of have. If you want to know more about trauma, PTSD, complex PTSD, go to our sister podcast, Declassified. Go to episode 4 with Dr. Walter Buzatil. Go to episode 27 with Professor Simon Wesley. And if you want lived experience stories, episode 8 with Sean Jones, episode 12 with David Wiseman, and episode 40 with Des Fraser. Vanessa, thank you so much, and we will leave it there.